pieces like a mystery, pull it together, and come to a conclusion. And I have Vanna White helping me today up here. All right? So the first thing, remember I tell you, you can never read a chapter in isolation. So before this chapter, what chapter should we have read? If this is chapter 7, yeah, we should have read in chapter 6. So we need to know what happened in chapter 6. I know you all read it. But if you're like me, sometimes it's hard to remember what you read, you know. So here's what happened in that chapter. Jesus says, you got to love your enemies, all right? And then Jesus says that you have to love, not only love your enemies, you have to quit judging. Because if you judge, you could be judged. So don't judge anybody, he's telling us, right? And then the last thing is, you have to forgive in order to be forgiven. And then we hear the story of the centurion, which is kind of an answer to chapter 6. So let's look at the main characters. We're going to start with the centurion. What do we know about a centurion? What do we know about this one? I knew you guys would know a soldier. He's not only a soldier, but what kind of a soldier? He's what? He's Roman, right? And so the Romans who were what? They were the conquerors. They were oppression. So what was he of the Jewish people?
Enemy.
He would have been an enemy, yes. All right, so here's the stage being set. Yeah, Donna. And Rob, what was centurion would have been? Was he just a normal foot soldier? He was a commander, right? He could have been a lieutenant colonel, for what I know, right? Because he had a bunch of men under him, so Gene and Doug Vanna would know that, and right? All right, so he has this. And have you noticed, he orders this detachment of Jewish folks to go fetch this wonder worker, Jesus, to come and heal his servant because he's heard about it. But is he a Jew? What is he? He's a Gentile, isn't he? He is a foreigner in their land. And the Jews probably should have what? Despised him. Yeah. And here he is ordering him around, which he's used to anyway, right? Interesting thing in this horror story. Does he really meet Jesus? He never meets Jesus at all, right? We also know he's wealthy, and why do we know that? Because he has slaves, right? So he's a pretty wealthy oppressor that we have in this story. Don't you think that's interesting? Let's talk about the slave. We got room to talk about the slave? All right, so what do we know about the slave? What does it tell us in here? He's sick. We know he's sick. What's his name? They don't give us a name. So what does it tell us about the slave that they don't even give it a name? He's very unimportant. He's a piece of property, right? You don't name property, right? All right, and so how would society have judged him? Unworthy. Remember the chapter before? All right, so we know that. Now, being a servant in those days wasn't really a servant. It was more like a slave, right? So he's really a slave. And this slave is sick. He's not performing well. Could be similar to a washing machine given out, right? You know, and shouldn't say that. And so I kind of question why the centurion really wants him healed. A lot of people always say it's because he loved the servant, right? But that's not the word that's used here. It says he's highly valued, right? So he's highly valued. So let's talk about the Jewish folks. What do we know about the Jewish folks in this? They speak really high of the centurion, which is kind of strange, right? Until you think a little bit about a little sentence they put in there about the synagogue. It says he paid to build it, doesn't it? Could be brown nosing. I doubt that, but it could be that, right? And then you have to wonder, if they didn't really accept Jesus, why'd they go to him? Do you see all these little pieces that you have to think about when you're going through here, really? Do you think they went to challenging, thinking they could embarrass him in front of the Romans then? I don't know. Something to think about.
Curiosity.
Could be that, too. So Jesus responds, right? And he starts to head off, and what happens? He stops him. He says, don't come to my house, right? Sends word and that the slave is still sick, you know, and so Jesus uses Wi-Fi. Because he does heal him remotely, right? So the question we have when this comes up is, why would the centurion not want Jesus in his house? I figure it's because there's pizza boxes and empty beer cans, maybe. I don't really know, but... He what? Uh-huh. Or do you think he might be worried about what his superiors might think if he had this, you know, this Jewish Masonic wannabe be in his house? Another question you could raise, right? And if we look at this from the viewpoint of the previous chapter, we have an enemy who would not be worthy, according to the Jewish folks, right? That Jesus could have said no to. He could have said no to the Jewish folks, and he could have said no to the centurion, right? Because you know he didn't know it to the Jewish leader. He certainly didn't know it to the Romans that were occupying to heal that, you know, who were considered unloving. But Jesus decided to love his what? Enemies on both sides. Jesus decided to forgive, right? And even though he never meets this person, the centurion, he praises him as a man who has great trust and who has great faith. And then we're told, because of that faith, that what? The servant got better and that he was healed, right? So, although we could have suspicions because Luke is the master of doing this and all these things, when we start to draw conclusions from all the little hints that we have, we find that really comes down to three people, doesn't it? Who does it really come down to? Jesus, the centurion, yes, and the slave, right? And even though in this story they never lay eyes on each other, you don't think about that when you read the story, but they never see each other. They have an encounter that Luke thought it was important enough to put in the gospel, you know. And to me, it's probably one of the most important gospel stories we can read. Do you have any idea why? It's not only about faith, but this story tells us that even 2,000 plus years later, that when we have faith and when we pray to Jesus, even though Jesus doesn't have to physically be here to heal, that Jesus can still come in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that when we live by faith, we can have this same healing presence even though we don't see Jesus. So this story confirms to me that in those times when we have somebody that's in our family or somebody that we know that is sick or dying or has a major problem, that we can go to Jesus and that we can pray for them. And Jesus tells us that he would come. And this story tells us that, confirms that for ourselves, when there's things going in our lives, we don't know what to do with somebody that we're dating. We've got illness, we've got pain, we've got surgery coming up. Maybe there's financial problems, or we have a child that's not doing what we really hope that they would do, that we've been betrayed by somebody we love. What do we know? We know that Jesus will come. And this story tells us that no matter how we feel about ourselves, no matter how unworthy that we feel, no matter how much we feel that we can't be forgiven, that Jesus will come if we only have the faith of a centurion, the same as that faith 2,000 years ago who said, Lord, I know I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. As the worship team comes forward, would you bow your head and pray with me? Lord, help me to have the faith of that centurion. Help me to truly believe and to trust that when I come to you for healing, that you will, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be there for me. Help me to have a centurion faith that no matter how unworthy I might feel, no matter what I might have done, that you will still provide compassion, that you will still provide healing, even though this messy world may not have it happen the way that we're praying, Lord. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, this day. I accept you again as my Lord and my Savior. Come, bring us healing. Bring us compassion. Come. Amen.